so much. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. There's good new music, but you can never outdo the old faithful hymns. They're always so good. So this morning, I did several different songs about promises and all, and this morning, with some things that God didn't promise, some things He did promise, and we are assured those things that He did promise will happen, without a doubt. And one of those is, He says, I am coming again. There is a lot of people that do not believe that, but God said it, therefore it will happen in His timing. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36 here in a moment. The title of the message is, Jesus is Coming. How more original can you get than that? See, I figured that one out pretty quick all on my own. While you're turning there, if I fail to mention, next Sunday, Ray Perryman will be here. So we'll look forward to him coming to let you know about that. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, if you're able, invite you to stand on to the reading of God's Word. Jesus is speaking here and provides the following. He says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill wheel, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You may be seated. In these verses, Jesus repeats the very last of this again in the book of Revelation. And he says in Revelation 16, in verse 15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and be seen in his shame. Again, he is providing for you and I the understanding that no one knows the day or the hour. Now, we have, this has been promised ever since the Lord ascended into heaven. And in so doing, everyone always looks to what is coming. We've had many a sermon about prophecy and the things that he gives us as guidelines about when his coming will be. And we've talked before that those items, for the most part, with the exception of one or two, and they're in the process of being fulfilled, but all of the checklist is complete. It could be at any time. And in this past couple of weeks here, I thought about that in that we don't know the hour. And the question becomes, are you ready? And if you know Jesus Christ personally, you can say you're ready. But this morning also, we want to look, how does that affect you, the Christian? If you don't know Him personally, then are you ready? Because life decisions have impacts of eternal consequence, predominantly whether or not you know Jesus Christ personally. Not a head knowledge, a heart knowledge. I draw your attention to the past tragedies that we've had the past 2 weeks. I thought about those guys that were in the helicopter and those people, those 64 people that were all on board that plane. Now, you know, when any of them took off, the helicopter or the pilot of that plane or the people on board that plane never thought this would be the last day they had on this earth. It comes without our knowledge. It comes without warning. As we've all seen in the news, there was no warning for either one of them. By the time they recognized it, it is already happening. And 67 lives perished. Of those 67 lives, you wonder how many knew the Lord Jesus personally. For you see, their eternity was sealed at that moment. Scripture tells us that. We have the opportunity, as long as we are alive and breathing, to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, their decision for all of eternity, not a short period of time, but all of eternity was made. We hear of another plane crash that took place in Alaska. And again, they found all that 10 passengers were dead. Medevac unit, also the same way. You and I are not assured of tomorrow. We're not assured of this afternoon. Some of you have plans to come to Bible study. Some of you are going to watch the football game. Whatever you may be doing, that's our plans. But I got news for you. That's not always God's plans. It is changed quickly. And so here Jesus tells us that no one knows the day or the hour. Somebody tells you know when the Lord's coming, you can laugh at them and tell them that they're a liar and a fool. Okay? You know, I got to share this with y'all. We have a saying about oftentimes, you can't fix stupid. Right? You can't fix stupid. Did you know that's biblical? Take your Bibles and get the one out of the pew and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 38. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 38. I'll take this moment of sidetrack and I'll get back to where we were. We all kind of laugh about that and we think, yeah, you know, everybody thinks you just can't fix stupid and there's stupid people out there. But 1 Corinthians 14, 38 says, if one be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That was the language of Paul of the day. Our language is, you can't fix stupid. Same thing. I had a friend of mine that tell me something came up in a conversation. I said, well, you can't fix stupid. He said, well, you know that's biblical, don't you? And I'll admit, I could not bring that scripture to mind, so he forthwith whooped out the big Bible and whooped it up and showed me, and I went, yeah, it is. It's scriptural. So the next time you tell somebody you can't fix stupid, you can tell them it's biblical. I didn't say it, God did. If they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. You can't help them. But one thing we do not want to be ignorant about is our eternity. For it is all of eternity. And there are those who scoff and say, Jesus has been saying he's going to come. We've heard that fairy tale for years. I got news for you, my friend. For years, it was forecast, just as Jesus said here, that the Son of Man would be born, that Jesus Christ would come. And there were those who scoffed and did not believe. But without a doubt, he lived and died on that cross and resurrected again. If that promise comes true, I assure you the promise that he will return is true and correct. Now, with that said, the primary is if you don't know Jesus Christ, I have bad news for you. You are going to hell. There is not a single thing you can do about it. I've said that before, and some people say, well, that's rather harsh. Well, I can't help that. It's the truth. And they go, but you scare people. Yeah, I hope it scares the hell right out of them that they find Jesus Christ. I didn't say it. He says it. No man can come to the Father but by me. And that's Jesus speaking, meaning that we have to come through the Son to be reconciled in order to have a family and a relationship with God the Father. And fortunately, one of the promises that Jesus made, he said, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is filled with promises we have been seen to become true. And the moment you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, the Spirit of God, enters into your heart and your soul and will help guide you. Here, Jesus also speaks about that we don't know when it will be. And for a moment, think about if you did know. And this goes to the Christian. If you knew exactly when Jesus was coming, what would change in your life? Anything or everything? On down in the 25th chapter, we just read in Revelation, he said, I come as the thief, just as he says here. If you knew somebody was going to burglarize your house, you'd make sure you were there, that you would meet them, hopefully with the Bible and with Smith & Wesson, so that they understood if they go to the Bible and relent, all things are forgiven. If not, there's other consequences, as it is. But in chapter 25, Jesus uses a parable. And so for a moment, I want us to look at that as well, in the fact and the light of knowing that He is coming again. And you and I can rest assured of that. Those who have passed, we have that hope, that promise. We will see them again if they knew Jesus Christ personally, and we know Him personally. And what a day of reunion that will be. But in the 25th chapter of Matthew, he talks and gives us about the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. You can read that at your leisure. Many of you have probably already read it several times, but there's 10. And they're waiting on the bridegroom. And in this case, the parable of the bridegroom is Christ. And it talks about these 10 that in the day and the time, and everybody would understand that as Jesus spoke this, they would fill their lamps with oil, and they waited till the celebration. When the bridegroom came, then they would have their oils and all their lamps ready and follow them into the chamber for the wedding ceremony to begin. 5 of them made sure that they were ready and watching and had plenty of oil. The other 5 that were the foolish did not have enough oil. And when the bridegroom came, then suddenly they were in a frantic. And they began to ask those who had oil to share it with them. And they said, no, if we share it, we won't have enough. And we were prepared beforehand. So it's about preparation and planning. There are those of us who plan everything to the nth degree, sometimes way over much, right? But there's also those of us who go, it's not close enough yet. We're the procrastinators. And we are in a panic at the last moment. And we try to get it all then. And you see, the old devil wants us in that procrastination bunch. Because just like the plane wreck, when it comes, there may not be time to ask Christ into your heart. When your time comes, an automobile accident, a heart attack, whatever it may be, or someone you care about immensely, there may not be that time. So we, like the wise 10 virgins, need to be prepared ahead of time. That's accepting Him. So I want to shift for a moment to you, the Christian that knows Jesus Christ. We live our lives as we just read in 24. We get up, we go to work, we give in marriage, we eat, we drink, we have fun and enjoy in this temporary dwelling place. And that is the number one thing that we have to be reminded of is, folks, this life is temporary. Last song they sang about the trophies we lay down. You know, it's always said in every funeral that you see, you can put whatever you want in that coffin, but the hands of the deceased are open. They take nothing with them. That body lays in the ground or has been cremated. It is the soul alone that ascends. And it ascends either to the Father or it ascends to the depths of hell. And Jesus says when He comes again that the dead in Christ will rise and we who are still alive will be gathered together. It's a promise. it will happen. Just as Jesus said here, there'll be two at labor, one's gone, one's not. And we will see that all over. Now, the world will find a way, the devil always does, finds a unique lie to explain that. You already kind of see the edges of that happening about aliens and everything else, right? So they'll find a way to explain it. But the truth of it is, Christ will come. So you as a Christian, and it's not preaching at you, it's same thing, the realization of thinking myself, these five were wise enough and prepared ahead of us. So first, it should, when we get that realization, worrying about the things that are temporal here, and Jesus tells us, why do you store up the treasures here on earth? They can be stolen. That's true. You can get that pristine truck that you've always dreamed of, and some fool out there is going to run into you, right? Or Mr. Deer is going to jump out and bounce right up in the hood and into your windshield, and you lose control and off the bar ditch and flip the truck. And time you're all said and done, if you're driving a Ford anyway, as we've seen recently, it'll catch fire and it'll melt down and won't nothing be left but your ranch hand bumper. Reality. Those things will go away. No matter what you've amassed, no matter what you have, when it comes time for a funeral, there is no trailer hitch on a hearse. What you have is what is in your heart, the decisions that you made. So us as Christians, number one, realizing that fact that it could be at any moment, it should cause a change or a shift in our mindset. So what is this mindset of thinking, well, Christ in eternity could be at any moment? Well, number one, it should set you and I totally free. Free that everything else really is secondary and not a primary objective. The primary objective is not only our relationship with our Lord, but what plans or what He has asked us to do, meaning spreading the gospel, and those that we care about, are they prepared? You hear a lot in the media and in the news now, they tell you, you know, to be prepared that if it comes where there's some type of emergency, the first thing that's going to go, hear that advertisement, is food, and you're going to go to the store and there's panic and all there is empty shelves and people panicking. So buy these foods that will last 25 or better years. I'm not going to say that's wrong, but I don't know I want to eat a 25-year-old macaroni and cheese meal. Just saying, okay? But it's talk about preparing. There's going to be wars. There's going to be a final war. There's going to be times that we have depressions. There's going to be times that we have famines. There's going to be, you know, I love all of these environmentalists, gurus that scream and holler everything is changing, and you know nature has been the same way for thousands of years, and storms come and storms go, and you know, used to have a member here that always said the moment it stopped raining, he said the next drought just started, and he's right. The only way you kill a good drought, you have a flood, and after the flood the drought begins again. How do you prep for eternity? What's the mindset? Is it a mindset of procrastinating? Well, we'll deal with that when it comes. Or is the mindset that I want to get those rewards that Jesus talks about, those crowns laid in heaven that can't be stolen? Now, it's not physical crowns that we're looking for. The crowns, the reward of being obedient to the Father and to the Holy Spirit as we're directed and guided. It's sharing the gospel. That doesn't mean everybody that you share the gospel with is going to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, oftentimes you might just be the one who plants that seed, the very beginning. You may never see it past and come to fruition. But along the way, someone else will be the waterer and someone will be the fertilizer. And then finally, someone is the reaper that leads them through the Scriptures to know Jesus Christ personally. But that reaping can never come if the seed is never planted. It's kind of like I hear people say, I want to win the lotto. Well, you better go buy a ticket. I ain't going to win the lotto. I don't buy tickets. It's that simple. If they call me a number, there's something awry, folks. I got news for you, okay? And the same is true in the perspective of our spiritual growth and our spiritual work that we do. You cannot receive the reward if you ain't ever done nothing. God is not woke. It's not a participation. It is based on what you and I do in obedience to Him. Now, that doesn't mean you can earn your way through works to heaven. I want to make sure you understand that. But just as Scripture tells us, our faith produces works. It is that mindset that we take and look at, knowing that our time is actually very short here. Solomon said it. He said, life is but a vapor. And we know how quick that vapor can go. And our lives and our times are the same way. It may seem like, we talked about me and Jean being almost 100, she's 98. That's a lot of years. But in God's timing, that's just an instant. Just an instant. Secondly, it should stir. Not only do we look at that mindset that these are temporal things and that really all of the things on earth are very temporal, but eternity is forever. And heaven will be forever. Those are the things that last. So second, it should stir you and I up, as 1 Peter tells us in 3:15, that God has given us a spirit to be on fire, of life. See, being a Christian is not a passive character. Now, many Christians do that. They sit in the pew, they come to church, and that's it. Being a Christian is an active participation. You know, there's many times that I hear people talk about different organizations and events that you do, and they say, you get out of it what you put in it. Well, I got news for you. That's the way our faith works. You get out of it what you put in it. If you spend time in prayer with the Lord and time in reading and understanding His character through the Bible and time in following and being obedient to whatever the Spirit calls you based on the talents He has given you and the people of your friends, you're going to get a lot of blessings out of that. You're going to reap the benefits. And your bag will be full in heaven, those crowns He speaks of, metaphorically. By the same token, if you're the passive that, well, you know, I gave my life to Christ. He's my personal Lord and Savior. I'm done. That's it. I took care of it. Number one, I will tell you, you really need to have a conversation whether or not you know the Lord personally. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, a fire takes place. Now, through life, by our, again, decisions, it may dim for a while, but that flicker's always there. And it's just like, you know, when it was cold enough the other day, we had a fire, and I would put the logs in there, and it was real big at the beginning, and then it began to die down. But at the same time, I could go over and stir that fire and take the blower and put a little air to it. Boom, flames would come up again. That's a spiritual walk. And it is the Holy Spirit and the things that God does in our lives, why we take time for prayer and praises, is He puts more air into there to raise that flame up. We see Him active in our lives. And not only should He be active, remember, He's our model, therefore we should be active in our faith. I liked what you said, not coming to sing at you, but sing with you. And I don't care if your mouth moves, your heart should be singing. I don't care if you know the words. You can't even have to sing in key. God said, make a joyful noise. So if you crow like a rooster or meow like a cat that's got its tail stepped on, but it's praising God, that's a joyful noise. Okay? You see, the mindset gets changed. And it stirs up inside you and I. Let me give you an example of it stirring up right quick. So when you see one of the homeless people walk by, what's your first thought? I don't want an answer. You answer that to yourself. What's your thought? I wonder what he's looking to steal. Ain't it a shame? Poor old feller. And you just keep whizzing on by. Nowhere do I find that Jesus ever failed to touch the physical needs in order that he could actually touch the spiritual needs. Most of those I've ever come in contact with and dealt with that are homeless and all, some event in life changed who they were. When I was policing in Odessa, we always had a guy. And you always you begin to learn, the officers did, we knew him, he was one of the local winos and drunks. But there was a certain time of the year that he wasn't just drunk, he couldn't stand. And in going through his property and all, what we found was that that was the date his family, his entire family, was killed in an accident. Got inquisitive, started doing a little more research on him, looking on things. Of course, you know, online was just becoming coming up where you could do that. The guy was a highly sought-after engineer. And he lost it. See, sometimes life turns people and we only see the exterior and not the interior. Had opportunities to visit with him. That's what you're doing to yourself. You know, he said, well, I don't care. I don't have nothing to live for. Yeah, you do. You live for their memory to drink. How about living for their memory to do what you did? To better other lives. To tell others. I don't know what all happened to him at that point. We moved and came down here, but I've often thought about him and where he's at. You see, it should stir you and I to have mercy and compassion. Don't get me wrong. I know there's those that are out there to deceive you, and sometimes you and I can't tell the difference. But I look at it this way. I have to answer for what I did. They answer for what they did. If the Lord leads me that I need to help them, then I help them. If they use it to go buy whatever that's not for what they intended, that's not on me. That's them. But our faith every day ought to be active. You and I should be looking every day because God presents you and I opportunities to share the gospel every single day. I am firmly convinced of that. Many times over. Problem is, you and I are wrapped up in what's going on in this world. We don't catch it. It's kind of like when you've driven along for a good ways and you come to a town, you're driving through it, and a little bit you go, was that light I just went through red or green? Because your mind's off on something else. Did that person, did I need to reach out and touch them? Did I fail to shake a hand or give an encouraging word? Opportunities exist. Jesus is coming. And every day, is sooner than yesterday. What vein are you living in? What's your mindset? How stirred up is your heart to share the gospel and glorify Him? I look forward to that day He comes. But I'm also very thankful for every day He holds off that allows someone else to be a part of the kingdom, a part of His family. invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. If you see, those of us who do know Jesus Christ have been where you are. And sometimes the devil makes that very difficult. He tells you about all the things you're going to lose and gives you all sorts of stories and lies. He's the liar all of his life and will always be the liar. If you listen closely, you'll hear the truth of the Holy Spirit that says you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ in your life. Her song was right. He won't promise that everything will be a bed of roses and a road that doesn't have up and downs. What he does promise is, I'll guide you and I'll carry you through every one of those ups and downs. He promises he'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And once we are his for all of eternity. So in a moment, you're going to hear us say a prayer all across this room to encourage just you. For you see, Jesus said the good shepherd will leave the 99 to go find that one lost one. And on the other side of that is that when that lost one is found, all of heaven rejoices. Christian, do you rejoice also? Are you looking for that lost sheep? Whether to plant the seed or harvest or anywhere in between. Does the fire of the Holy Spirit reside in your life? You can have that again. That ember's never gone. And if you allow Him and you apply yourself, you look for those things of the kingdom, if you put into it to seek Him, to knock on that door, He'll open it. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. And you'll find that your spirit has a raging fire. Not for the things of this life, but of the kingdom. I can only answer for me, and you can answer for you. As we pray together, dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, and to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, even into eternity. For you that don't know Jesus Christ, if you prayed that prayer and you believe on Him and you ask Him, no matter if the words were the same or not, He'll answer. He'll come into your heart. Christian, as you prayed that prayer to encourage them, you remember back what life was that like without Jesus Christ and what you have now. There should be a vast difference. If there isn't, we need to talk. But stir up that fire within you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and ask Jesus Christ in your heart, I ask you simply to slip up your hand and back down for a moment. I want to pray for you and pray with you because your life just started over.